our service each week. And just to pause, pray, seek the Lord, and be blessed by the... God's blessed our church with some tremendous talent, and they just seek to honor the Lord, and it's a blessing. So let's turn over to 1 Timothy and chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, and continue where we left off in the study in this book. Seeing how to build an effective church in chapters 1, 2, and 3. Then how to build an effective Christian in chapters 4, 5, and 6. And then our outline, letter A underneath that, was a walk with God in chapter 4. A witness for God in chapter 5 and 6. And in studying that, we saw the people of God, most of chapter 5 into beginning of chapter 6. And then the priority of godliness, chapter 6, verses 3 through 6, which leads us to where we are tonight, starting in verse number 7 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. And the outline would be this: the peril of gold. The peril of gold. The danger. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 7, it says, "For we wrought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." God, I pray that you just take the reading and the preaching of your word tonight and speak to our hearts. Lord, I'm thankful for our church. I'm thankful for what you're doing. I thank you, God, for already the service tonight. And Lord, I just pray you'd speak to us now. And we love you. Challenge us. Rebuke us. Help us tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. In this next few verses, of course, he's been talking about godliness, and we left off there in verse number 6 last week, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And then he goes into and covering the peril of gold, or the danger of having a love of money. In the United States of America, all of us are influenced by this culture to love money. We have to have money to live. It's a necessary thing. Money is amoral. There's nothing wrong with money. It's not a sin to have money. And I hope that we all get blessed with as much as God will allow us to have, all right? Now, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, all right? But to love it, to live for it, to have it kind of like our motivation in everything, well, Paul says, you better be careful. Paul warns us about this. And he's going to talk to us about it, and we need to understand this. And I'm thankful. My dad was a giver. He would you needed something, he'd give it. Sometimes to a fault, he was a giver. Mom's like, yes. All right, yeah, all right. I watched my dad give away several vehicles. I saw him at least twice in my knowledge that he went and got a loan for other people and just to give it to them, and he paid it off. My dad loved to give, and there's a ditch on both sides of every road, and totally always remember that on everything. But I am thankful that my dad left me a great example that don't be afraid to give, and there's more important things to live for than for money. And that's what Paul's talking about. And in verse number 6, he reminds us that if you're godliness, be content. God, if you live in a godly life, God, you're going to be great. Verse number 7, and he goes into this danger here. He says, "For we brought," in my outline, I wrote number 1, and verse number 7, or A, if you're really in the outlines, a basic fact. And the fact is, in verse number 7, "We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." The basic fact is this, that we came into this world with nothing, and we're going to leave with nothing. Job said it, you know, naked entered, came I into this world, and naked I will return, right? He understood that. It's a basic fact. And what he's contrasting that with is godliness. You know, there's a statement people, you know, say, and diamonds are forever, and they're not. They're not. But godliness is. And that's the point of the Apostle Paul here, is that everything that is material, we live for a short time. Because we can take nothing with us. Now, again, we have to keep the balance. God expects us to be stewards. God expects us to, you know, to do what's right, right? You know, you're not to go out and, you know, don't go charge up a, you know, $20,000 credit card and be like, well, hey, money's not important, and I'm just going to, you know, not pay it back. That's a sin, right? Pay your bills, right? And but in any case, right, we can't in the same time fall in love, and you've met people like that too, that they're driven by money. And everything's about hoarding money. And I read a story. This man, very, very, very wealthy man, he passed away. And at his funeral, there was some of his clients standing there by the casket, and they said, "Well, you know, this guy, man, he had a lot, and he had a lot of land. He had a lot of holdings. He had a lot of stocks, a lot of bonds." And he looked at the preacher standing next to the casket. He said, "Do you know how much this guy left?" And the preacher said, "All of it." Right? We take nothing with us, and we cannot. We're warned about it in Jesus' parables. Remember the rich man that went to bed one night thinking, "I am so got so much stuff. My barns are full. I'm going to tear down these barns and build bigger barns." And God said, "He's a fool." Because we don't live for those things. But the contrast is this: we seek first the kingdom of God. And when we seek the kingdom of God, all these things shall be added unto us. All these things that a lot of times we get so driven and worried about, God said, "I will take care of you." And I have lived my 48 years of life, and I've seen God do that over and over and over again. You know, if you knew, I still stand amazed. I watch my mom, and I'm not going to get into the details of her life. It's private, right? But what she lives on blows my mind. But God just always comes through. And He's faithful. And God is always that way. And God always meets our needs. Even when we go through difficult times, you just do what's right. Well, you'll never find the righteous begging bread. God takes care of His children. Now, again, you know, like my uncle used to say, you know, he'd say, "Well, I tithe, God's going to take care of it." My uncle used to say this: you can't be smart with 10% and stupid with 90% and expect God to come through, right? You have to be right, right? And handle things correctly. But loving and living for money can become a trap. It will become a trap. We have to be careful. For we brought nothing into this world, it is certain we can carry nothing out. If we're not careful, possessions can become blinding and binding to us. I know people tonight that you sit in this auditorium, and they haven't been to church in months upon months because they can make extra money on the weekends. You say, "Well, you know, they're doing well." A, they're not. B, just wait. And I'm being mean. I hate it. But we start serving money, and that becomes our life. Again, I want you to save as much as you can. I hope God blesses everybody financially this year in wonderful ways. You know, amen. If that's it, awesome. Or if we just barely get by, amen. You know, I was having a conversation with a church member the other day. There's been, since I've been here at church, there's been weeks that, you know, like, "Well, we're just not going to cash your check this week." Those are days gone by, praise the Lord. You know, and we just didn't. And the Lord just showed Himself mighty, always came through. And then you have other times when God's really been blessing the church, and we look around and, wow, look what all we've been able to do and what God's doing. And which one do you like more? I'm not sure. Because there's something just special about God just coming through and doing amazing things. And a lot of times, the more that you have sitting around, the more you can get distracted. We have to be careful with that too. But there's a basic fact, but then in verse number 8, there's a basic formula. It says, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Food. We're not starving. I don't think anybody in the auditorium is starving. I'm not being mean, but we're doing okay. Amen? Amen. Oh, it's okay to amen. All right, amen. You just sing a song about we shout hallelujah and amen because our hearts in one accord, all right? We're not starving, amen? God's been good to us, all right? And I think it's an important principle. Remember when the Lord met the Israelites' need with manna? I think that's a really good principle when it came to food, all right? God made sure they had what they needed. And again, it wasn't just, I love this part about it. You know, some of us, you need amen this, right? But God didn't say, you know, so much, you know, the exact same amount for everybody. He said, every man according as he eateth. That's awesome. Amen. Yeah. Some of us require more. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, right? You know, some of us do. And he said, but there's one thing about it, though, about the manna. Remember this? They weren't allowed to stockpile it. Right? Just eat what you need and trust me tomorrow. And I'm not, you know, amen, all right, I got cans in my cupboards too. I don't wake up every morning saying, all right, God, I'm going to go outside and look in the ground. Hopefully there's something there, right? We live in a world, but at the same time, we can't get, you know, blinded by these things. And God's meeting our needs. Praise the Lord, all right? You say, well, I'm not able to eat T-bone steak. Well, me either, but we're doing okay. All right. But food and raiment is your covering. That's what the word means. It means your covering. That's your clothes, and praise the Lord, no one's in the room naked, praise the Lord, all right, I'm just seeing if you're awake, all right, we all got clothes, amen, and we all picked out what we wanted to wear, amen, we had clothes to put on, and a roof over our head, a covering over our head, thankful for that tonight, and Paul said this, if you got food and raiment, be content, having enough is a blessing. Because our goal is to not live just for this world. It's to live for the world to come. Great to have things, but don't live for them. And that become your motivation in life. Abraham, I think, is a great testimony of this. Abraham was one of the wealthiest men in the world at that time. Amen? He lived in a tent. Because it personified what he was living for. He was just a sojourner looking for that city to come. Lot is one of the first persons to have a house. That didn't turn out too well. Now, it's not wrong to have a house. I'm just saying Lot went to where he went to because it was well-watered plains. He wanted the money. He wanted the power. He wanted these things. And the fact is, God just wants us to understand this formula. That if God is taking care of you, and I think everyone in this room can amen, God is taking care of us. And God is taking care of you, and you've got food to eat, and you've got clothes to put on, and a place to lay your head at night, rejoice. But if you're that person that's sitting there saying, well, I want a house as big as so-and-so's. Well, I know I got a house, I know I have a car, but I want a newer car. Well, you'll have to like get a second job, you won't be able to go to church. Well, I want that newer car. That's a bad choice. We have to balance all these things. God wants us to be good stewards, and it's okay to have things, and praise the Lord, but be careful what you're living for. And we live in this world today, and everyone listen, especially young people, listen to this, all right? Because it's affecting ministry, too. We just prayed for God to send forth laborers. You know, I'm kind of close to people that run Bible colleges, and I talk to them all the time, and I talk to pastors. There's all kinds of people graduating Bible college, and there's all kinds of churches that need pastors. that ratio don't make sense. Because you have all these graduates graduating from Bible college, but why are all these churches still needing pastors? It's because they want a big old office, and they want all the... And there's nothing wrong with these things. In time, what God wills. But they demand. And if you really love the Lord, and listen to me on this, and you young men training for ministry, listen. God's called you to ministry, get involved in the ministry. Well, I want to work a side job, and I want to build up a bunch of money, and, you know, well, that's not what God called you to do. Now, I have. And I've been here now. Isn't it amazing? I've been at the church 30 years this year. That blows my mind. I've been 30 years. And been on staff for 20 plus years. And, you know, I've delivered newspapers. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying do whatever it takes. I'll get up at 2:30 in the morning and go deliver newspapers so I can continue in the ministry. And, you know, I'll do whatever I need to do. But don't get distracted. Don't start living for things. Say, well, I want to have a big 401k, and I'm all for preparing and planning. Don't get me wrong. But if God tells you to go to the mission field and spend the next 40 years in Africa, don't work for 20 years. God called you, go. I don't know. Seriously. I'm all for having a vocation. That's fine. I'm all for working. But when I see the scriptures, I don't see like, you say, well, Paul made tents. It's something he knew how to do. He didn't take 10 years of vocation school to learn how to make tents. It's just what he could do to help supplement. I didn't go to any schooling to learn how to deliver papers either, right? It's something I could do. I am a barista. I just want to say that again, all right? You know, I can make, any coffee drink you want, all right? I didn't have to go to school for it. Just learned it as I went, all right? But I didn't take, 10 years out of the ministry to go invest in this, because that's not what God called me to do. And I get it, and I know the balance, and I understand things, but I'm just saying there's too many young people now that are getting so distracted they never get back to the ministry. And they want all these things without just getting down and doing whatever it takes. I remember when I first started coming here to church, I was 18, 19 years old, and Brother Larry Wilson, he just looked at me one day, he goes, philosophy around here. He had to listen close because he kind of mumbled, right? Philosophy around here is grab root and growl. I was like, yes, sir. And, just get the job done, whatever you have to do. And that has been the philosophy at Kazada Baptist Temple. Whatever you have to do. Get it done, all right? If it's what we're supposed to do, get it done. Young men, get it done. Whatever you need to do. Well, I want to take 10 years off, or people don't go to follow the Lord's direction and go study for the ministry because, I just want to save up a whole bunch of money. And if God called you to do something, do it. Basic formula is this. I mean, this is what God said, right? Having food and raiment, therewith be content. God will take care of you, I promise, all right? So you see a basic fact, a basic formula, and then you see in verse number 9 a basic folly. The basic folly is this. It says in verse number 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. It's really important to catch that. There's nothing wrong with being rich. I pray everyone becomes a millionaire this year. Just make sure you tithe. That'd be awesome, right? There's nothing wrong with being rich. And that's awesome, wonderful. But the key to that verse is not about being rich. It's they that will be rich. In other words, in their heart, that's all that they can see. Is they want, and they're going to do whatever it takes to be rich. You see in that verse, the basic folly, the temptation explained, the hidden lure there is that will be rich. It's a deliberate determination that whatever it costs, I will be rich. Whatever it costs, I will have money. If it costs me my spiritual life, if it costs me my kids, I'm all for taking care of our family, parents. Men, be there for your children. Don't put your job and your work and money ahead of your children. Now, you got to work to provide for your family. If you don't work and provide for your family, Paul said you're worse than an infidel, right? You got to take care of your family. You say, well, if I work all this extra, I take this second job, we can get a boat. Yeah, but you spend 6 months and you never see your kids. You got to balance that. I'm just asking you to balance of this stuff, all right? And ask yourself, am I doing this because God wants me to? Or am I doing this because I will be rich? Answer that question. If we have this determination that that's all we're going to do and it consumes us, it will, according to this passage of Scripture, they that will be rich, it opens the door to temptation. It says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and to many foolish and hurtful lust. One of the first things that this spirit and attitude will always do is cost you your spiritual life. It will cost you your spiritual life. You'll fall, according to the Word of God, you'll fall into temptation. What's the temptation? To push aside God. To push aside people, to abuse people, to hurt people. Now, I just don't want to preach this tonight as a topic of, you know, individuals. As a church, we need to understand this. As a church, we need to get this too. That we can't have a spirit of we will have money at this church. I thank the Lord for all that God gives us. But when we start getting an attitude that it's all about the bottom line and the dollar, be careful, because the temptation and the snares are coming as a church. I'll be very quiet tonight, but so I'll stay here and park a while until we all get in one accord and amen, all right? We got to be careful on that, because what can happen, I'll give you an illustration, you know, we get a new weed eater. We need a new weed eater. But we get a new weed eater. Right, Matthew? Don't we need a new weed eater? Yeah. All right. We need a new weed eater. Right? But let's say we get one, all right? And Caleb Salee says, hey, I'll weed eat. There's a young man, wants to serve the Lord. And he weed eats. But he hits the head on that thing on the side of the building. It's all nicked. And actually, he dropped it. Oh, Caleb dropped it. You know, we're gonna have to. It's got a bent underneath of it, and maybe something falls off. All right. We gotta fix it now. And we're like, don't ever let that kid touch it again. No, I'll probably let him touch it again. No, I'm gonna teach him. Caleb, you gotta take care of God's stuff. I'm really not reprimanding you. I'm just using an example. Caleb's like about to hit the altar. All right. No, you know, we're going to show him. We're going to teach him. You got to take care of this, all right? You can't abuse it. But if we're not careful, we can push him away. Don't ever touch this church stuff again. You ruin everything. And the young man will say, okay. And if we're not careful, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts. Pretty soon we're hurting people. Follow me? And bus kids, they mark up the walls. We've got to repaint every 2 years because kids are leaning on the walls. Okay. Now I'm all for taking care of things. I'm just trying to show you there's a balance here. It's about people. Church is about people. People. Not, you know, how big the bank account is. Matter of fact, I really think it'd be dishonoring to God The Lord came back in 15 years and we had $7 million in the bank, but we didn't ever help people. I'm all for taking care of whatever we can get. Use it for the Lord, but it's to be used for people. And we got to have that balance, because if we get so directed that I'm not, you know, well, we just got to, you know, money, everything's a dollar. You look at a seat, it's a dollar. You know, one of them babies, we have so many babies running around, and one of them said it, and it spit up on the chair. Amen. Good. So we'll have to buy a $30 chair. Okay. What I found is this, that God said, as long as we're doing what God wants us to do, God keeps meeting the needs. Show Him. He's faithful. Seek Him first. And He is about people. And I think one of the reasons why you see the Lord blessing is because the church is reaching people. And we'll invest in people. And then God says, all right, you know, let's get some new chairs. You say, well, what if we ruin a chair? We got like 30 more sitting around. All right, Brother Doug? All right, we'll bring another one. All right, we're okay. All right, I'm looking for a reason to get the ones out of the conference room. They're really a pain in there, right? You know, move them over here, right? You know, but God will provide. He will. Well, you know, if we didn't have all the ministries, the van probably would have lasted 5 more years. Okay. But I'm glad we've been hauling people around. You know, Nick sit here on Sunday this morning. He's been in church now for 7 months. Started riding that van. So let's keep it rolling, amen? It's people. We just can't get off balance here and start seeing, because what happens, according to verse, they that will be rich, when everything becomes about a dollar sign, we fall into temptation and a snare. A temptation is when we push God aside and push people aside and we abuse. A snare is when we begin. A snare, again, I've taught this before. You know, that's not like, you know, mousetrap, cheese. That's not a snare. That's a trap, right? A snare is whenever you put, like, barbed wire around the mouse hole. And the mouse is just doing his thing, but when he walks through it, it gets him. He's just going through life. That's what a snare is. And if we're not careful, when this, we will be rich, we're going to find ourselves going through life, but find ourselves trapped and destroyed one day. I thank the Lord for all of God's churches, and I've been around a lot of churches in my 48 years of life, and I've seen money destroy a lot of churches. But they start getting money and it all becomes about the money, and when that happens, they become insensitive to God because they're kind of handling it themselves. And we kind of point fingers at Indian Hill and be like, if you knock on those doors, no one thinks they need anything. But yet in God's churches, when we got a bunch of money in the bank account, we forget that we need God too. And we become very self-dependent. So they that will be rich, there's a hidden lure there. Then it ends up in a harmful lust. It says in the verse, and many foolish and hurtful lust. Foolish, it means thoughtless. They don't even realize what's going on when they fall into this. They lose the ability to think about spiritual things, and hurtful. They begin to injure themselves and their loved ones, marriage, people they love, people around them. It becomes hurtful. I mean, you've all seen it. I mean, we live in a culture that is driven by this love of money, and how people, because their drive to have the best and the most, and they'll push anyone and hurt anybody in their path, even their loved ones. I've seen husbands leave their wives for money. I've seen wives leave their husbands for money. It becomes a harmful lust. You see, the temptation explained in the beginning of verse number 9, then the end of verse number 9, the trap exposed. It says, which drown men in destruction and perdition. That's an interesting word, drown men. When someone's drowning, they're overwhelmed. They lose control. And literally the life is sucked out of them. The people that begin to live that will be rich, they fall into these temptations and snares. They begin to hurt people and do foolish things, and they find themselves drowning in this love of money. And it literally takes the life out of them, and it will destroy them. It drowns them, and then it says, and perdition, destruction and perdition. Destruction is just a ruining. One day they wake up, and I can just give you illustration after illustration of one day somebody waking up and it just hits them. A man who's been married for 30 years, and it hits them. They wake up one morning and she's not there. And the house is empty. The kids don't want nothing to do with him anymore, because he was so driven by this love of money. And it will destroy relationships. I mean, that is one of the main, in my, I watched my grandpa pastor for years upon years. One thing that I remember as a teenager, people leaving over the most, a good church, was money. And no one, I wish he would have sat down and, I mean, every one of us, my grandpa, we would all sat at his feet and listen to how to handle money. He was just fantastic at it. But people, like, they love it. They don't want to give it. They want to control it. And perdition, that's, I put earlier down, drowning, destruction, and despair. Perdition means no life. They're shamed. That shame in this, that you've lost who you were. That's what perdition is. That's why Judas is described as the son of perdition, because he lost everything that he was. And someone that will be rich will lose that life that God wants them to have. You see, the basic folly and then the basic fallacy in verse number 10, we'll be done. The basic fallacy in verse number 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Some will do anything for it. They love it. And the Lord, this is the Lord's words, that will to be rich, that love and thirst for money is the root of all evil. It drives the evil in this world. I hate to tell you this, if you don't know this, I hope I'm not bursting your bubble. Our government's corrupt. I know people are just in shock and all right now, all right? Our government's corrupt. Our local government's not much better. This world is corrupt. And this world is driven by a love of money. It's passed on to us. So much of the evil that's out there is because of money. You know it. I don't need to get in details. It drives evil. And it will affect our faith. Read the verse. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith. It will get you out of a good church. It will affect your faith. It will affect your health. It will affect your emotions. It will affect you mentally. They have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It will hurt you and leaves people with sorrows. I've been doing a lot of study on suicide. We're going to Scotland, I'll be speaking on that topic, but also my Sunday school class, I'm teaching on that topic. But it's very interesting. The greatest percentage of people taking their own lives do not come from the poverty level. It comes from people with money. Because that will and desire. There's nothing wrong with making money. We all balance tonight? Do it. There's nothing wrong with being rich. Do it. It's the will be rich. Leaves people with sorrow. We got to be careful with that. Because according to the Word of God, It pierces ourselves with many sorrows. It destroys a life. We got to have a balance. Let's pray. God, thank you, Lord, for the scripture. Thank you for